Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Dad. Yes, this is your shit. Let you know that God is able and just continually able to get you through your circumstances and situations. And I hope that you can hear me on this morning. Praise God. But nonetheless, though, we're going to get into our topic on today, which is Marital Blocks Roots, the Roots of the Problem. This is a 6-week series, so I want you to just embrace and get ready. Lord have mercy. Amen. Amen. Okay, beloved, marriage roadblocks. Roadblocks that are called roots. Did you bring excessive luggage or baggage into your relationship? We want to deal on how to learn to deal with your past so that your marriage will last. Amen. And on this particular topic on tonight, in session one, amen, we want to talk about the roadblocks called roots. Learning to deal with excessive baggage that we may bring into our marriage. One of the key passages from the book of Genesis, the second chapter, verses 21 to 25, is, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, man shall leave his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, were not ashamed.'" The core truth of lesson. From the book of Genesis, the second chapter, verses 21, 2 and 21. Amen. Amen. Let me see what happened. Praise God. We find out that we see a principle emerge that will help us in our marriages. God caused a sleep to fall upon Adam and took from his lot his side of rib. He didn't close up Adam's side. He created woman from the rib taken from Adam's side. He brought her to Adam. It is interesting to note that before Eve was brought to Adam, God first closed up the wound in Adam's side. The principle is this. It is important to be healed of our wounds before we can really be one with our spouse as God intended. Too often people bring their wounds, their baggage, into a marriage, and as a result, intimacy and oneness is hindered. We want to seek healing from the hand of God for the wounds from our past. Amen. And first of all, a question I would ask, who's getting married? You probably said, what you mean, man, God, who's getting married? Well, yes, who's getting married? More than a man and a woman. The man he think he is, the man she thinks he is, the man he really is, the woman she thinks she is, the woman he thinks she is, and the woman she really is. Amen. So we find out, beloved, that it becomes more complicated. Why? Because the man he wants to be, the woman she wants to be, the man she wants him to become, the woman he wants her to become. It even gets even more complicated. Why? Because the vows and beliefs that his family structure and upbringing have imparted to him. The vows and beliefs that her family structure has upbringing has imparted to her. So extremely more complicated is this here. He brings into the marriage the fact that he is a man. She brings into the marriage the fact that she is a woman. You see, it sounds very complex, right? But here's the big problem. The man, she does not know he is. I'm saying again, the man that she does not know he is. So what she sees and what she met and everything else, but she doesn't really know the man that he really is. Just like the woman, he does not know who she is. Not really. So we read in the scriptures already, leave and cleave. Marriage does not mean individuals begin to live their individual lives together. The Bible says that the two shall become one. Marriage is an ending and a beginning, all in one event. Let me say that again. I'm going to emphasize that. I said this here. It says that marriage is an ending and a beginning and all in one event. See, the three phases of marriage is this here. Number one, you have the romantic stage and fluctuation. Number two is the power struggle stage, confrontation. Number three is the unconditional acceptance stage, realization. Amen. So we find out, praise God, that we have these three different stages that actually take on in the marriage. Amen. Now, there's another situation that happens in a lot of marriages today. It's the failure of marriage. Divorce rate, for example, the statistics of divorce rate varies depending upon where you look. For example, one of the most recent statistics predicts that 43% of people who get married today will end up in divorce within 15 years. Second, or more marriages, more than 60% end up in divorce. Isn't that something? 60%. The church is guilty of not dealing with this issue. Amen. So we find out that we need to find out how do we deal with the baggage to you earlier. Well, in order to deal with the baggage, there's something you have to do. Three initial tactics. One is to face it and trace it. I'm going to say it again. You got to face it and then trace it. So face it and trace it. Face the situation and trace where it came, where it stems from, where the roots are. Remember now, our first series that we're talking about tonight is considered the roots. Now, come on now, the roots, amen? We're talking about the roadblock called roots. You got to trace it, you know, you got to face it, and you got to trace it to the roots of where it began. Next, you got to pounce and renounce it. Pounce and renounce it. Amen. And then next, you got to deny it and crucify it. So you're going to pounce. You're going to pounce on it. Then you're going to renounce it. You're going to reject it. And then you're going to deny it. And then you're going to crucify it. Now, listen to me. In a marriage, there has to be some long-term care. For example, I'm going to give you eight areas on where the long-term care should be illustrated in. Amen. And one is, beloved, that you have to renew your mind. Your mindset has to be renewed. You know, we say that old things are passed away and old things are new. But renewing of your mind is how you think and what you add and your positive affirmations and what you say to one another. Become a great forgiver. Number two, become a great forgiver. Now, a lot of times we don't want to forgive nobody because we want to blame, do the blame game. No, well, I'm not going to say I'm sorry or I'm not going to forgive that person because they're wrong. We can't have that type of attitude when you're in a relationship or a marriage, should I say. Learn to fight fear. Learn to fight fear. How do you fight fear, first of all? Does it mean that you physically are fighting? Does it mean that you actually just insult someone to the extent of because they're the weaker vessel or whatever? No. Learn to fight fear means that you are on an even plane, and you understand that each of y'all have the responsibility to express yourself, and there's going to be good times where it may differ, but you have to learn to fight fair. Don't fight dirty. Don't try to hurt someone so maliciously and intently. Amen. Also, live a lifestyle of confession. You got that? Live a lifestyle of confession. In other words, your lifestyle should be your confession. Whatever you're confessing, when people see, that should be your lifestyle. People should be able to see the very thing that you claim to be. Everything you claim to be should be explicitly seen through your lifestyle. Live by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. See, it's important that we be led by the Spirit, not just talk as if we are just Christians, but remember, we have to be led by the Spirit. Earlier today, a scripture on my page, amen, being led by the Spirit, amen. And, you know, it's funny because it comes from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 14. But, you know, here's what it says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So you have to understand that you are not even considered a son of God or a daughter of God unless you learn to be led by him. And how can you do his will if you do not want to hear it? So if we aren't listening to obey God, we aren't walking in salvation. If we are too busy living our own lives, not occupied with the things of grace, his mercy doesn't just rest upon us. We need to hear his word to live by it. Amen. And getting back, and you can go on my page, and you can see that great, great food to eat on tonight. Don't be too proud or too private to seek help. How many of you are guilty of that? When you just got your pride all in the way, proud to, like, humble yourself. You don't want nobody to know what's going on. You don't want to seek help, so you're going to just suffer. We can't do that. Pride is a downfall to men. Amen. So we don't want you to be in a position where you're unable to receive from God because of your pride. Amen. And also, don't be private to seek help. So, or private to seek help. You don't have to do that. You know, a lot of times we're afraid to ask. Number 7, practice the prayer of agreement. See, you two have to come together as one. So if you will come together and practice a prayer of agreement, that means that you are agreeing on your marriage. You're agreeing on the things that need to be done. You're agreeing, touching and agreeing. So it's very important you understand that as a couple or as a husband and wife team, that you're supposed to pray in agreement. Not one praying something against the other one praying just the opposite. You want God to move in a certain way, and your spouse is praying just the opposite thing. We don't want to do that. We want to practice the prayer of agreement. Number 8, realize that Jesus is perfect. Realize that Jesus is perfect. What you mean, man of God? Well, we know that we're not perfect. When you realize that Jesus is perfect, all things for him come out perfect. All things for him is possible. So we need to understand that whatever God put together is perfect. But it's up to us to maintain. It's up to us to put some work into it. Amen. So I'd like to recap somewhat. You know, see, it's still kind of early. We're going to get some prayer in. You know, I was telling folks that we're probably going to do a series. You know, we're talking about roadblocks and the roots. So I'm going to do a recap, and then in our next week, I want to talk about marriage roadblocks, the roadblocks called roles. And basically, that's going to be really good. We're going to each week go into a different model of what I'm teaching right now. So next week's going to be the roadblock called roles. Are you confused about your role in your marriage? Learn more. Learn to move past the he says, she says argument that's still a relationship. So So this is what stalls the relationship, okay, when you can move past he says, she says, and the arguments that will stall your relationship. You need to tune in next week, tell somebody, I'm telling you. But let's recap on what we talked about so far tonight. Amen. And I want you to understand that I'm recording this here, so you'll be able to play it back, maybe even hopefully, I don't know if you can download, but you'll be able to replay it back, okay? And it's very important you understand that we were speaking tonight about core block, the roadblock called roots, amen? And we came from the Bible scripture, Genesis, the second chapter, verses 21 to 25, talking about when the Lord God caused the beast to fall upon Adam, and while he was sleeping, he pulled out a rib and closed up his womb, closed up the rib and made a woman from the rib that he had taken. And Adam said, this is, you know, the bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, you know, and she should be called woman. Why? Because the bone was taken, or the rib was taken out of man. And then it says in verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. They were not ashamed, and they were naked, because they didn't see nothing wrong with that. They didn't see no sin. They didn't see no guilt. So remember, learning to deal with the excessive baggage we bring into a marriage. It's what we talked about on tonight, amen. And it's important. A lot of people get into situations, and they have all type of baggage. They need to take care of that before they can actually get into something. So, and I touched on this lesson here tonight about core truth of lesson was from the book of Genesis 2:21, and what we've seen was the principle that emerged that will help us in our marriages. What principle was that? Well, God caused a sleep to fall upon Adam and tuck his side, a rib. And what did he do? He then closed up Adam's side. That's what's very important. I want you to understand this. He closed up Adam's side. He created a woman from the rib he took from Adam, right? But check this out. He brought her to Adam. Now, here's what I want you to understand. It's very important. We're talking about baggage and luggage and all kind of problems, right? But watch this here. See, it says that even though he brought her to Adam, I want you to understand this. That before Eve was brought to Adam, God first closed up the womb in Adam's side. Did you get that? He closed up the womb in Adam's side. So basically the principle is, it is important to be healed of our wounds before we can really be one with our spouse as God intended. So we got open wounds and all kinds of situations going on. It's going to be very difficult to be one with one another until we are healed, because too often people bring their wounds or their baggage into a marriage, and as a result, the intimacy and the oneness is hindered. And we must seek healing from the hand of God for the wounds from our past. Many of us don't do that, but we need to do that. We need to pray and speak. If we're going to pray on tonight, you know, and I'm not going to do this whole lesson all over, but we could touch on some of the things. Who's getting married? We talked about that, what the man thinks he is and what the man thinks she is and what the man really is and vice versa. He spoke on those things tonight, amen. And it's just important we realize that we're always going to have a perception of what we think a person should be and what the person is and what we think we are, who we really are. You know, so it's very important. And we broke it even down to more complicated situations concerning, you know, who the man wants to be or who the woman wants to be and really who the man she wants him to be and vice versa. So we got all these different mindsets, different things playing, you know, in this marriage, you know, and we spoke about the vows and the belief system, you know, that comes from the upbringing, from the family, from the male perspective, from the female perspective, you know, and it's so important that you understand, because, see, the vows and beliefs that her family structure and upbringing have imparted to him. You know, there's a lot of different things that's going on. But see, more importantly is this here, is what he or she brings into the marriage. The fact that he or she is a man or a woman, you know, they come with that concept. So it's like, you know, I'm coming into marriage and, you know, and the fact that he's a man, the fact that she's a woman, dictates a whole lot of how you can grow up to see things in the relationship. You know, so then we spoke about the big problem, amen, how the man, she does not know who he really is and vice versa. And we talked about leave and cleave and the phases. So, I mean, it's just so important that we understand tonight, brother, if you get ready to prayer, amen, that we're going to pray for unity. We're going to pray for strength. We're going to pray that God will just continue just to open up the minds of understanding and give clarity. All those that are married, to all those in relationships, all those that may be engaged, and just to those that are seeking God to hear from the Spirit, to be led by God's Spirit. We spoke about that earlier. Amen. At this time, praise God, we're going to go into our prayer. Amen. And I want to ask, as you are online, I'm going to pray first, and then I'm going to come back and ask if there's anyone that has a prayer request so we can touch and agree with you on tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before your throne of grace on tonight. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you will touch people that are in marriages right now, touch their marriages. I decree and declare unity and strength, Lord. Lord, I ask you right now, Father, that you will give them understanding of who their spouses and who they are individually. Lord, if there's any baggage, Lord, that you would just reveal that baggage, the wounds that have been opened, that you would just heal the wounds, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we speak these words into existence right now. To those, Lord, that are engaged, to those that are dating, to those that are in the midst of even separating, Lord, that you will just step in the midst of the situation, Father, Lord, and whatever your will is, let it be. Lord, we thank you right now, Father, in the blessed name of Jesus. We give you the praise right now, Lord. We honor your name right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we bless your holy name. Hallelujah. 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 And Lord, we ask you right now for direction, that you will continue to order our steps by thy word, Father. Lord, in the name of you, we declare fire, Holy Ghost fire, to come down right now, burn everything that's not like you. Burn every situation out of existence, Lord, that will cause us to stumble. Lord, we pull down every imagination, every thought, Lord, every unpure thought, every unpure word that comes to mind. We put it into captivity right now, and we just decree and declare right now, Lord, in the magnificent name of Jesus, it is done. We just thank you right now, Father, for victory. We thank you right now for favor. Lord, we bless your name right now, Lord, because you are moving on our behalf. You are moving right now, Lord, and it's already been desecrated. It's already been done, Lord, according to that word, according to your power. We ask you right now, Lord, that you remember Sister Monica right now and her family, that you would touch her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, even right now, every situation going on in her body, every medical situation that needs to be dealt with, Lord. We speak into her body, to her limits. We speak to her respiratory system, Father. We speak right now even to her heart, in the name of, even in her temple area. I bind up every type of headache, Lord. Migraines, we just bind it up right now. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I ask that you touch her father right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you continue to put a hedge of protection around this man, Father, even right now, Lord, that you would touch his mind, touch his heart and soul. I speak to the memory. I speak to everything that's going on. I bind up everything the enemy is trying to entangle him in. I break even, and I even curse right now every addiction, everything that will cause him to stumble. Bless her mother and her children right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I decree victory over their life. I decree right now throughout her home the blood of Jesus to be saturated in every part of that home on the outside and inside right now, Lord, in the blessed name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you right now for Sister Melissa, Lord, that you would continue to bless her and her family and her husband. Lord, as you continue, Lord, just to open up doors. It's been a minute, and it seems like it would never get right. But, Lord, you are right. So we read tonight and understood in our lesson that, Jesus, you are perfect, and everything that you do will come out because it's good. And even in the beginning, everything that God made, he said after he made it, it is good. Amen. So it's a good thing that the Lord is on our side on tonight. Now, Lord, that you will bless the marriage, Lord, and open up doors. Lord, you said that we need to be led by your spirit. And to be led by your spirit means to be obedient. So, Lord, help us to have an obedient spirit even the more so. Help us, Lord, to continue to listen to thy word as you give direction and counsel, even through the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we may be not only victorious and conquerors, Lord, but we will also, Lord, hallelujah, be the example to others to see, for others to be encouraged, that we will be hope. We will be that lighthouse, yes, Lord. We'll be that light and that candle on top of the hill, that people that are in dark, the people that are blind will be able to see that there is still hope, Lord, through you. There's still hope for that people that you will use, Lord, to encourage those that are going through, not only that going through, but through their testimonies, Lord. Through our testimony, you said we are overcomers, Lord. So now as we continue to remember how we have got over, how we have got through another situation, as we go through the trials and tribulations, Lord, help us, Lord, to remember, Lord, how you were there all along for us, Lord. We just thank you on tonight. We bless your name, Father. Remember those young ladies and that have been missing, Lord, that we don't know where they all are, Lord, but you know where they're at, Lord. We ask that you remember those children that have ran away, Father. Lord, that you would just send, hallelujah, an angel, a ram in the bush, even on their behalf on tonight, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to remember those in the land of Georgia on tonight, even after the fire that's going on, Lord, that they will put out that fire, the people will be able to get home safely, Lord. The fire will be contained, Lord. It will not spread and cause any damage nor other people's properties, Lord. We ask you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, to have your way. Have your way right now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Amen. God bless you, beloved. I hope that you enjoyed tonight's session. Next week, like I said, we're going to be dealing with another session on roadblocks to marriages. Amen. If there's someone on the line tonight, praise God, that would like to have a question or have a prayer request, I'm going to ask that you go ahead and just make that announcement right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Someone got the TV on, but is there anyone out there that has a prayer request? Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I got calls coming in from Texas, but I can't answer it right now. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyone have a prayer request on the line tonight? Any prayer requests? Amen. Praise God. Well, beloved, I want to share this with you then on tonight. There's no prayer request. Praise God. I want you to be encouraged and understand that everything that God has already purposed and promised in his word, even as you read it, and many of you have been told great things that God's doing this and God's doing that. Now, most importantly, I want you to understand something that, you know, we are no longer babes in Christ, but we are mature. We eat in the meat, we're not on the milk no longer. So we have to understand as we have been elevated in maturity and wisdom and knowledge, it's time for us to not only continue this to be a lamppost, but it's also time for us to continue to put our hands to good things, to be able to duplicate whoever we are, you know. And you might say, what do you mean duplicate whoever I am? I remember when my younger days as a minister in church, and I lived in Florida, the pastor used to say, you know, because I would do the audio and I would do the video. I worked in the sound booth. I was a computer guy. I was very gifted in a lot of areas. And he said, well, you know, you got to duplicate yourself. You got to teach others to do what you do, you know, so that when you move on to the next level, there'll be somebody else. You got to pass on the torch, in other words, amen. And a lot of times we pass the torch on to our children, our grandkids, and ministry, could be on the job. But most importantly, you know, we are living in a time right now that we need not everyone can reach out and reach the youth. You know, youth, I find out that youth are the ones that normally reach out to youth. It's like, you know, they have like their own little social club. So if the youth think something's cool, then they're all going to accolade to the same thing. You know, so it's important that we raise our children and grandchildren in such a manner that they know truth, that when they go out to, you know, speak to their peers and associates, that they can make an impact in their lives. You know, and what I love about God, God would give them ways to be more creative, you know. So as we were creative one way, God would give them something more creative to be able to reach out to their people. That's why Jesus, when he was out there during the time around the disciples and the people, he was talking parables. He talked in a way that people could ID to understand, identify in the time that they were living in. So, you know, agriculture, farming, and, you know, and being a sheepsman, all that, herding the sheep and everything, people can identify that kind of stuff because that's what they were used to doing. So think about what we're living in today. It's technology, it's FaceTime, and it's all Snapchat. There are all these different things going on, and it seems that almost if, you know, technology is going to replace people eventually, you know, so we got to let our children know that this don't depend on technology. It's good to understand and learn what you need to learn so you can be competitive out there, but also don't get to the point where your mind, it just rots away and everything's so easy. So, you know, we live in this instant presto type society, you know, we have a microwave society. All I got to do is go to the microwave, drop it in for a couple of minutes, boom, it's done. You know, if I need an answer, go to Mr. Google, type in who the 46th president, or how do I do this, or who, where can I find this? You can type it in there, and you'll have an answer in a matter of seconds. So the element of us having to research and use our mind and take up some time to research things pretty much is not the same as how it was when we were growing up. So we have to be mindful of the things going on. The young children today at a